Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Bottled in China. I'm your host, Emily Steckenborn, and this is the podcast where we talk about wine, food, beer, spirits. But in today's podcast, we're talking about sparkling mate tea. Mate tea is probably not something you've heard about, but it's super famous out in Argentina and South America because it provides the same refreshing dose of caffeine as you'd find in a cup of coffee, but it's natural and it's an alternative to your average cup of cappuccino or latte. Now, I'm really excited because today I'm sitting down with Daniel DeSmith, who is the founder of Highlight Tea, and this is a sparkling mate tea, which is super refreshing and perfect for summer, and once again, is hitting the shelves here in Shanghai, and also kind of revolutionizing the space of caffeinated products in China, because there is a space here in coffee, and it is growing, but there isn't something that are alternatives to that kind of fix me up, except of the things like energy drinks, and as we know, these are all loaded with full of kind of chemicals and sugars, but Highlight is a great alternative, more of a natural alternative, and a healthier alternative. I can't wait to talk about this because mate is one of the first time I've tried it. I'm already feeling it, and I can't wait to share this episode with you guys. Stay tuned, make sure to subscribe on iTunes, leave us a comment, and share this podcast if you love it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bottled in China. Today, I'm sitting down with Daniel from Highlight, and I'm super excited to speak with you about your new project and also about something I think that's going to be replacing my daily dose of caffeine, I hope.
Very good.
And all my friends know that I've been trying to give up coffee for the longest time. I think one of the reasons is because I always feel that I'm dependent on it in a sense.
I love it too, to be honest. Yeah.
Now I'm dependent on a different situation. So tell us how you got to China for everybody that doesn't know you and how this got started.
Well, I came to China for I've been traveling around Asia for a long time, my entire life. So I was in Asia about 10 times before I actually moved here. So when I lived in Berlin, I got a message from a university over here and that said, hey, you can come study here for a year. That's basically how I got in. And I came into a business school called HALT.
Yeah.
And I flew in. I was never been to China before. So I came to Shanghai thinking it was like many of the other Asian countries, but it turned out to be very different. But yeah, I liked it very much. And my story is that during my studies, I started importing my favorite drink from Germany, followed by making a local version. And now I'm launching my second brand. So, yeah.
That's super exciting. But this one is truly something different because it is a sparkling tea, but then you have mate inside.
Yeah.
And for everyone that doesn't know what that is, because I'm new to that as well.
Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit more about what's mate?
Well, mate is a South American type of tea. So it's from a region in northern Argentina, southern Brazil.
Mm.
So it's a very healthy tea, but it also contains a lot of caffeine naturally. So basically what it does is it wakes you up compared to a cup of coffee for much longer time and less intense. We make iced tea out of it. So this is actually a German thing to make iced tea out of it. In South America, you drink it in a very traditional way. It's a pretty odd way of drinking it. You have a cup where you put the tea in with the hot water and you drink it through a straw. So yeah, it's quite different.
We mean hot water with a straw, basically.
It's like a metal straw, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
with a filter on the end. It's quite wild, yeah. But I've actually never been to South America. Like how I know it is from Germany. So in Germany, a brewery in southern Germany actually about 100 years ago started making a mate iced tea.
Mm.
And at some point turned into a real hipster drink in Berlin. And that's how I got to know it. When I moved to Shanghai, I missed my favorite drink.
Your fix, yeah.
Well, it really, really was something like that, yeah. It's like mate in Germany is really a startup drink and a nightlife drink. So I worked in a startup in Berlin, and I love to go to techno clubs in Berlin. I don't know if you've been yourself.
Well, I haven't been to Berlin, actually. I used to go to Germany a lot and Munich.
Seriously?
But
oh,
I've never
yeah.
been to Berlin, and I think I've missed out on that techno spot.
Yeah, hell yeah, you should go. Yeah, it's beautiful out there. Really interesting place.
Right.
So for me, it wasn't a South American thing, but the tea is originally from Argentina.
Mm.
And when we started making a local version here, we literally started brewing a big pot of tea based on the real deal, on the real leaf. So in Germany, it's more a bit artificial tasting. And over here, we really use the real tea leaf and make it into something that we actually liked. So our version is based on stevia extract.
Right.
So we have no sugar. We're without the calories. So the original recipe in Germany is based on smoked leaves. We use unprocessed leaves. Mm. Some really high quality tea we put in there. So it's actually a very different recipe. It got a whole life of its own. And
Right. This
is what people like most over here. So that's how we went, yeah.
So can you give us a little bit of an example? If you were in Germany and you had a mate tea, what would be the flavors that you get compared to yours? Because the tea smoked versus more of a fresh one.
I mean, literally, like the first time I drank it in Germany, I didn't like it.
They've
actually the slogan that you will like it the second time you drink it. It's in the brand slogan. But it literally tastes like cigarettes dissolved in water. Yeah.
And that's something that...
It's a very addictive taste, yeah.
Oh yeah. My gosh. Yeah. Okay. I don't know it probably would take a couple chances of consuming it to be able to even enjoy it.
Yeah, I somehow tried it another time and then I started to really like it, yeah.
Mm.
But from what we have now, it's very different than the original.
Right, because I was actually just drinking yours. And for highlight, I feel that right when we start, I was like, is this peach? Is it nectarine? You're seeing it's more plummy. But are you adding fruit to it?
Not at all, no. No, it's very special. Like we use very premium tea from Argentina.
Mm.
And it's a recipe with stevia extract. We use some citric and malic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And then we carbonize it and it's water and that's basically it.
Right.
It sounds very simple, but to balance a recipe like this, it actually took me about 2 months to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And what comes out somehow with the tea, because it's quite a rich tea, is a really fruity flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get a lot of Chinese people say plum juice.
Yeah, exactly. I just smelt it again, and I truly do feel there's that plum juice in
it. Yeah, totally not in there.
And that's funny. And what's people's perception? Because, of course, if you've had it in Germany, you know, growing up in North America, I've never really heard of mate, right? And so I'm sure growing up in Germany, you have that idea that it's, like you said, watered-down cigarettes, which is a very interesting and probably not that appealing way to sell a tea like that. But, I mean, what do people feel when they drink this one? What's their perception?
First of all, I want to say one thing. Like, everybody thinks I'm from Germany.
Yeah, but you're from the Netherlands.
I speak German, actually. Like,
oh, really?
I'm quite okay. Yeah, and I'm actually from Amsterdam. But
Right. Everybody
thinks I'm German. I apparently look German, but no, the perception over here, I don't know. Like what we in the beginning thought, that was one of my ideas why it would work here, is that it's a tea drink, and this is the biggest iced tea market in the world by far. It's really insane how big the iced tea market is in China. And we thought, okay, this is a tea that's not here yet, you know, and that's why we're going to do it. But I think like mate tea, there's not the perception in China that it's a tea, you know, like tea over here is a tea ceremony. It's green tea, black tea. I don't know. Like if you go to these expo centers where they sell tea, it's very traditional. So I think like, yeah, except that there's cha in our name, madai cha.
Mm.
We're actually more perceived as a herb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and people have absolutely no image of how South America is like over here. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I think also like it's served in like a beer bottle, right?
Yeah.
So I also feel for a lot of consumers' perception, even if you are hitting into the iced tea category, there is nothing like it. Like I know back in North America, we have like Arizona tea, which is a very different bottle.
Yeah, I love it.
But then, you know, typically for the teas in China, you have like the plastic kind of bottles, right? So I'm sure when they taste it, they must think it's something different.
No, they think it's a beer, like a Mexican style beer, yeah.
Right. So is people's perception in China that this is a replacement of coffee or this is a replacement of tea?
Well, I think like it takes a whole, I'm not so sure how to answer that because I get very different things. So people see it as an alternative to beer when they don't want to drink. Mm. But also we sell in a lot of health food places. Then you get the zero calorie aspect.
Right.
People actually know that there's understanding that mate is healthy in China.
Mm.
So people drink it for that reason as well. We're not making the claim on the bottle. But I mean, no, there's different reasons. And I think what the biggest opportunity for us is when you look from the perspective of retailers in downtown Shanghai is that we're actually a premium soft drink, we're in a glass bottle, but then with Chinese branding.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you think about it, like when you say, for example, Arizona, or you get Honest Tea, or you get so many cool brands in the United States and in Europe as well. There's a real scene for like the craft sodas.
Yeah.
And it basically doesn't exist in China yet.
Right.
When you try to explain it to factories, so you say, okay, maybe we want to buy a lower quantity and sell it for, we'll pay more and we'll sell it for a much higher price, you know, we make it work financially, mm-hmm. people don't get the concept. It's very difficult to find production partners.
Right, right.
Whereas it actually really works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for yourself, you've been in the drinks industry for a couple years now, doing your own thing.
Yeah, four.
What are some of the key learnings that have taken place in the last 4 years?
Many. Yeah. I mean, like when I started out, I had absolutely no clue. So when I started importing the brand from Germany, they ended up giving me the rights for complete China. So, which was bizarre. I mean, I didn't even have a trading company. So I had to figure all that stuff out on the spot. And obviously a lot went wrong. When we started making our own version, we didn't have a clue about QS and all that stuff, like how to produce it. Basically what we did is you had a nightclub back then called The Mansion.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's like the techno club in Hongqiao.
I have a feeling you really like techno clubs.
Yeah, I like techno clubs. Yeah. The previous owner, he's a Dutch guy as well. Mm. So, and he's a bit famous in the Netherlands because he had an article on Vice with this nightclub and whatever. Anyway, like when we started making the drink, we put it in a plastic bottle. We thought, okay, great. And it was a bottle not made for carbonation.
Yeah.
So the bottle popped out like the bottom. So you couldn't put it on the table anymore. And we couldn't legally sell it. So we just gave it to the club to see how it was doing. Mm. And it did very well. But I mean, it was not a professional product. Yeah.
Right. That's when you first started working and importing in the German product, right?
Well, no, this is the product when I started with the import, but I fairly quickly started making a local version.
Mm.
Yeah. And I had to completely give up the imported products.
So when you're making the local version, I mean, how'd you start off even for, you know, Highlight? Did you kind of look at market research or did you look at taste preference or how did you go about to create this brand, the packaging, the story, everything?
Yeah, this is my second company. So my previous partner, he actually produced the first recipe and we went out about it pretty easily, you know, like everybody always has the opinion that you need to do extensive flavor testing, but we just made something that we really liked. And yeah, and we started giving it to people and then they gave us feedback. And then when we felt that they were right, then we adjusted. I mean, it was, nothing like in the books.
Right.
Yeah.
And so for this one here, I guess it's based on the experience that you had before to be able to make this. Or what was something that you changed completely to be able to make this a successful company?
Well, I mean, I redid the recipe for my newest mate brand. I made it a lot more accessible in flavor, which was actually very difficult. And when I went about developing the recipe, literally in my bedroom, I spent about 2 months doing that.
Mm.
Actually, we had about four recipes that were well balanced. It's pretty difficult to balance stevia. And I don't know if I'm going too technical.
No, I mean, that's great.
Yeah, to balance stevia in a recipe is pretty difficult. It's pretty strong and
right.
It gives a dry aftertaste if you use too less acidity to balance it. So we ended up with four recipes that we liked and we just bottled it and then I brought it out to my friends and then we just chose on the spot. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing fancy pantsy.
But you know, I think that's sometimes the best way of doing it because there's always these big stories and misconceptions that it took like a year to make it. But I think the process that you've done was just knowing, being in the market, understanding the need, and then just being able to understand flavor profile, right? And balancing that out. So that's, I mean, it takes time because I'm sure if this was your first company, that would have been a very different situation. But with experience, you can move faster.
Yeah, I thought about this. Like I do all the sales myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped now from two business partners, but I go out and sell it and I literally put it in front of people and see them try it for the first time. And with my previous drink, I counted it one time. I think I've done it probably like 2,000 times.
Oh, wow.
And you really start to see like every emotion, like first sip, if it's too acidic, they start to swallow a lot. So you actually get a real feel for it. It's pretty strange.
Like, so now you're judging everyone's facial features by what's
100%,
going on.
100%. It sounds all right, but it's really true, yeah? Like if you do it often enough, you start to see those things.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us a little bit more about your partners, because I think you just mentioned that's really key in developing the brand and getting this, you know, off the ground. Can you tell us about, you know, the team?
So I work together with two main business partners. One is Ian Ford. He's former Summergate. He's the founder of a little venture capital company called Lightkeeper Studios. So I'm one of his first projects. The other one is Roger Bicker. He's the CEO of boutique advertising agency, I need to say. So he does advertising for all kinds of big, cool brands that I'm not sure if I can name.
Right.
Yeah, and Ian has been on the show over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when I gave up my first project, he was actually the one that pushed me, that said, like, yeah, if you're going to start something new, let's do something cool together.
Yeah.
And with Roger, I was also already talking, sometimes having a beer, and yeah, it just felt like the right match. I mean, Ian has the experience to build soft drink brands or anything beverage related in China.
For sure.
And Roger is, yeah, really good at advertising and branding. And I've got the energy to build a brand, so to execute a bit more. So together we developed the whole brand. So with WeChat, we just have a group chat that's probably the length of a book now, all the conversations in there. Yeah, we spend about 6 months doing the design of the brand together, looking at factories. We all discussed everything, and together we really built the brand. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. I think by having, you know, yourselves and, of course, your two key partners, those that really understand the market like anybody else does and understand the branding that needs to happen to make this so successful, I really feel that this is going to blow up and take off.
Yeah, I feel quite confident as well. There's still a lot that needs to happen, but they're two really good guys to work with, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. In terms of this here, are you also looking to sell more in nightclubs? I saw that you guys are at Stone, one of my favorite spots.
Oh, seriously, yeah. Very
and
nice.
So I feel like it is quite versatile. Are you looking to change the bottle in terms of nightclub to look more like a beer bottle, but then retail to look more like a high-end tea? Or what's going to happen long-term for Highlight?
I mean, we can do everything, yeah. Like now that we work in the beginning, we work with craft breweries in Hong Kong and Cambodia, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we also want to sell in Hong Kong and Singapore. And in Cambodia, actually, as well. Great bar scene over there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. Apparently, like, I've been checking it out. It's pretty interesting. Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a beginning product. Like, this is a beer bottle shape.
Right.
Like, I would maybe like to have a screw cap, or I maybe want to do something completely different. Like, yeah, like, I can do everything, yeah? But we could also choose to make a smaller bottle. I mean, we're really flexible, yeah? And we can just figure out what works, yeah?
Right. Now, so far, this here is, okay, I know you mentioned zero calories. It is a size for everyone who's listening. It is the size of a beer bottle, as we've mentioned, and 330 milliliters. And so is this like one espresso shot, or how much caffeine would you say is in this 330 milliliters?
You want me to get technical again?
A little bit. Well, I'm asking because I'm scared that it's so delicious, I might have two or three a day, but then I might be shaking.
I have five a day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because you drink your own product too much, right?
I absolutely love it. Yeah. Yeah. But you cannot really compare it like that. I'll give you an example. A lot of people that drink tea, they're talking about theine. Have you ever heard this?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no such thing. You know, like theine, like in tea, there's caffeine, and black tea contains caffeine. And it actually contains a whole bunch of elements that wake you up differently. And then people say, oh, this is theine, but there's no theine molecule. There's actually a lot of stuff in tea. And as well, mate tea. So it's actually all the elements together that create a completely different wake-up effect. And actually, like, there's two types of caffeine in mate tea. It's caffeine, which is in coffee. And that amount is pretty low for our drink. So it's about 30 milligrams for an entire bottle. That's about a third of a cup of coffee.
Okay.
But there's also theobromine, which is, you know that chocolate contains caffeine, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's actually not caffeine. That's a molecule called theobromine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like a molecule with the extra arm.
Okay.
So that has a euphoric effect as well as an awakening effect. And that's also in this drink. So it's literally like a wake me up and euphoric drink.
Is this even legal in China?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. It's just naturally in the, you know, like people think, I don't know, like there's always this idea about production that there's some magical factory where everything comes from. But I mean, like if you think about iced coffees, for example, I mean, yeah, they naturally contain caffeine.
Right.
But there's a whole bunch of elements in coffee. It's a pretty complex ingredient, you know?
Right. This is actually quite fascinating because I didn't know that there was two types of, I guess, caffeine or wake-me-ups that would be in chocolate and coffee. I just assumed caffeine was kind of one size fit all. Right?
Yeah, no, that's not true at all.
Really?
Yeah.
And so, like, how long would this last you in terms of if you drink it? Do you feel like there's a buzz for 1 hour? Because I feel for coffee, for me, there's about 3 hours if I drink, like, a shot of coffee. And, like, does this last a full day? Or, like, how does it kind of...
I guess
everyone's
long,
different.
Well, everyone's different, but... The interesting thing is, like, so what we say is, so a lot of people say, oh, you have like an energy drink tea. First of all, I think that sounds a bit negative, but we say we're more uplifting.
Right.
You know, the effect is not as intense as a cup of coffee, and it lasts a lot longer, and there's no crash at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's really a drink that really brings you back in the moment.
Right.
Like if you have if you need some energy and you need to work a bit longer, it's perfect. Or if you want to party and yeah, you're a bit tired after a day of work, then yeah, perfect to have. Yeah.
You know, I know you were saying that before this in Berlin was for the techno scene,
yeah,
the gaming scene, for like people who are gaming at night, I guess, and then also the startup scene, people that work long hours.
Mm.
Do you think that this is going to be revolutionary in China? Or what's your perception of where you're going to take this in 2, 3, 5 years?
Well, we hope to take it all over Asia. So coming year, we want to go to Hong Kong and Singapore as well.
Mm-hmm.
And mainland China, I want to do all the first tier cities.
Yeah.
But I mean, we feel that there's opportunity to actually develop a whole, well, definitely calorie-free and then specialty herb or tea ingredient brand.
Right.
So yeah, no green tea, no black tea, but really something different. There's still a lot out there that's not been done in China. And mate is a part of that. But we have other flavors in mind that are still secret.
Well, I was just about to ask that. I was like, I know, even though you said there's nothing added, it just smells like plum. It tastes so, like if I had to describe it to everybody, it does have a sweeter taste, but it's not sweet, you know? And it's not, like you said, tannic from a tea that you would think for green tea or something like that. And it's no calories. So I'm actually quite surprised how sweet it is in a sense, which is really enjoyable because summer comes on and this is like kind of what you want to reach for. So it's really awesome. And then I was just about to ask what flavors you wanted to come up with next. But I could see that you're like, no, this is a secret.
No. I actually would love to tell you, but we haven't decided yet. That's
okay.
One thing. Yeah, like I'm pretty versed now in food regulation in China as well.
Right.
So a lot of things we want to come up with, like it's difficult. Like we need to be 100% sure that what we do is that it is according to regulation, you know?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of stuff you can make in the United States and in Europe that requires more time in China.
Right.
Like this herb is literally, like luckily mate has been approved in China since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a herb from the other side of the world, you know? It's quite special that this is available over here.
Yeah. Now, why do you think the government, for people that aren't living in China, why do you think the government does put so many regulations over various teas or anything coming in from outside of China? Because it is quite strict.
I mean,
a lot of things are very controlled in terms of food product coming in.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't necessarily have any positive or negative thoughts about it. I think they just really want to make sure that everything's produced according to the food safety. I mean, there's been several scandals in the past.
Yeah.
But also when you look at what a lot of people don't know is that the government is so scared of bad food coming out of China that you hardly have any Chinese food factories that export food. And it's actually super, super strict.
And so how is that going to work for you? If when you're going to export out to Hong Kong and you're working on Singapore and Cambodia, are you thinking of having things are going to be brewed locally in that market for that market? Or are you going to export from China outside?
Well, I mean, we produce in Hong Kong now and we're going to produce in Cambodia. We actually import to mainland China.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like we can produce wherever we want. We just need a good craft brewery,
right?
With that likes our idea. It's sometimes quite complicated to explain,
right?
So we can do whatever we want. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
I love it. All right, listen, we're almost out of time.
Oh,
so
seriously?
It goes by. Goes by so quickly. So I want to ask a couple more questions before we wrap up. But one of my first things are: if you did have to explain this to anybody who's new, never heard of mate, never had highlight, how would you explain the flavors? I know I said plum, but how would you explain it?
Well, from what I hear, from how most people perceive it, is it tastes a bit like black tea, but then with the plum infusion and extremely refreshing.
Mm.
So, but yeah, it's really something that people have never tasted before. It's really something different. Yeah.
And what about cocktails? Because I know you guys were doing cocktails with highlight. Like if you were at home and my God, I think I could use this when I go out before I go out because now I'm getting exhausted near the end of the evening.
Yeah, take one.
What would you do? What would you do for like your favorite cocktail that somebody could do easily at home?
Well, actually, what most people have been doing, Logan and Gio and Jackie, Gio and Jackie from Up and Logan from Logan's Punch, like they've been mixing it with whiskey, actually.
No way.
Yeah, and I sat down with Theo the other day. He was here as well on the show.
Right.
And he was also like, yeah, this is with whiskey. Like whiskey is low calories and the taste just matches. And it's true. Yeah, it's really delicious. Yeah.
Oh, nice. You know, honestly, now that you say that completely makes sense because you do have that more, I guess, the smokiness from some of the whiskeys and that oakiness would probably go well with this, right?
Yeah, it really works, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Anything else that you think would be a really good pairing that you'd want to explore a little bit more when it comes to cocktails?
Well, to be honest, like, it's really versatile. Like, we've done basically everything. If you put Baijiu in there, Arguato from Family Mart,
no way.
It tastes like bubblegum. I'm not joking.
We're not suggesting this, but if you want anything to taste like bubblegum, then bubblegum. I always think Baijiu is just so, like, there's something, there's like that lab again.
Right? Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Wow, okay.
I'll tell you why it is. Like, if you're interested, like, it's because there's no sugar in there, it's an extremely versatile mixer.
Right.
So as soon as you add something with the syrup, or anything that contains a bit of sugar, you can completely change it. So we've done tequila, whiskey, vodka. Well, vodka is easy.
Right.
But even Baijiu, yeah, you can do it all.
Oh, yeah. Nice. So this is, do you also think that this could take off a little bit with the cocktail scene? I mean, it kind of already is, but do you feel that this would be something that you add a little bit and people kind of get a little bit more up? You know, at the end of the evening.
100%. That's what they've been doing it up, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, we had a crazy party over there the other day. No, it's a great mixer, yeah. And I think, like, before I started with this, I wasn't really into the cocktail scene, so I've been really educated about it.
Yeah.
But what I see is that a lot of people are really happy with the new ingredients. So, yeah, there's definitely interest, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, what everybody's going to come up with. It's pretty exciting for me as well.
You know, I was just speaking with Emilio, who's the CEO of Zamora, and back in Mexico, they did a blending of coffee with liqueur 42 or 43.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And I was like, how did you guys get that concept? Because it ended up being a big bestseller. And he said, it's actually the community that comes up with a lot of these ideas. So I think a little bit like you, it's like what the community comes up in the cocktail scene, in the mixology scene, you know, like you said, whiskey goes super well with this or different flavors. You know, you can jump on that and then make that kind of a signature of highlight to be able to mix around.
Yeah, so. Like, well, I'm very excited, you know, like with my previous drink, we saw it as well. Like, people got so wild with it, like absolutely ridiculous recipes, and they were delicious.
Yeah.
And they all taste different. It's a really interesting mixer, yeah?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to do what we always do, which is our last five questions.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I know you do this.
Well, then you know exactly how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. So my first question is when you drink this here, do you drink it in the morning for you or do you personally drink it at night?
Personally, like, well, I drink 5 bottles per day. So I get up, I drink one.
Jesus.
Around 11, I drink one. Yeah, I really believe in the products. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're helping depletion as well.
Yeah. It's been a problem. Yeah, me and my business partners, we've been drinking too much of it. Yeah.
All right. The next one is, typically, what is the hardest thing you face whenever you are showing somebody highlight for the first time? What are kind of some difficult questions that you get?
I mean, people like it's unbelievable how positive the response is.
Mm.
I mean, we produce abroad, so we're slightly more expensive than a normal mixer. So there's questions about price. But on the other hand, like, we also have a bigger bottle. We use really good tea. Like, we spend a lot of money on the tea inside. Like, it's really something different. So yeah, if people want to have a premium product, then it's not that expensive. They should be able to get it. So that's something I have to deal with to explain why it's a bit more expensive.
Right.
But when it comes to flavor and, like, yeah, and especially the retailers, they want to have more premium soft drinks. But then with Chinese branding, like, this concept, people get it. Like, they want to have something special in their store.
Right.
And not a regular imported brand. Premium soft drinks in China, they're usually imported.
Right.
And if we explain it like this, like, yeah, we made this with people from Shanghai, you know, the whole design and everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then one of my questions as well was, like, the design, actually.
Because
we didn't touch on that. But for everyone that sees it, it's like a hummingbird. Am I correct?
Or it's
I'm not good with birds. I don't know exactly.
It's a type of bird that lives in the mate tree. He's got a very sexy name. It's a mot. But it's
basically like the tea. The
double. Yeah, you could say that, yeah. But it's a type of bird. He travels all over South America.
Okay.
And we thought it was, like, it's a very positive bird, like, very uplifting. And that's what we want the whole brand to be about and to take people to another level, like, on concentration. Like, I think that was our main point of selling it. Like, it's not necessarily a mixer. It's more really something that lifts you up and brings you back in the moment. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's really beautiful. And of course, our last question is, how do we get in touch with you? How can we find out more about Highlight? And where can we find them when we are in Shanghai?
So we actually started about 2 weeks ago with selling. So yeah, you said Stone, but we've got Up, Little Catch, the Pierogi Ladies. They're really nice. Cages has it. Logan has it behind the bar. He's just drinking it himself.
Yeah, well, hopefully it comes out of the bar.
No, he's selling it in Tacolicious, so that's a good match.
Nice. But
for getting in touch with me, you can always email me at info@lovehighlight.com. So highlight, you spell with H-I-G-H-L-I-T-E. So yeah, that's probably the easiest way to contact me, yeah.
Well, perfect. Well, listen, Daniel, thank you so much for your time today. I'll put all the information in the show notes and you'll be able to find it, be able to click through the links. So thank you so much. First of all,
yeah,
I think I'm almost shaking a bit and I have three sips.
Oh,
so,
seriously?
Yeah.
It's not that strong. No.
But I wanted to thank you and congratulations on launching this really great product.
I think
this is going to do really well. So
thank you.
Great.